magic of a charm, cause I want girl to call my own. I want a dream of a, so I don't have to dream alone. Girl, to call my own. I want a dream of a, so I don't have to dream alone.
Want to take a ride? Well, call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The Wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0900. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
I mean, why not? If it's nanotechnology, and we'll ask about this in a moment, why not? Shouldn't that alternate reality contain your dream lover? And then, is that your real mate, or is that your fantasy mate?
Would you like to start improving your vision today without the risk or expense of laser surgery? Hi, I'm Mariette Hartley. Are you tired of having to get stronger prescriptions year after year as your eyes get weaker and weaker? Are you tired of the constant hassle of glasses and contacts? I know I was. I wanted out of my glasses, but not through surgery. I didn't think it was possible until I discovered a powerful program based on 50 years of research called the See Clearly Method. In just minutes a day, I'm seeing better, and my son Sean is completely out of his glasses after only a few weeks. The American Vision Institute guarantees that if you don't completely eliminate or reduce your need for glasses and contacts in 30 days, they will refund your money, guaranteed. So call today for a free video that introduces the power of the See Clearly Method without laser surgery. Call 1-800-900-0016. That's easy. 1-800-900-0016. Call 1-800-900-0016.
I, Cindy Johnson, pledge allegiance to the roof and to the business team room. I shall stay at the roof because the bed's bigger than the one I have at home. Because the TV's bigger than the one I have at home. Because it doesn't remind me of my home at all. And my home is the only other place I'd rather spend the night.
The Business King Room, now available at Red Roof Inn. With a king-size bed, a large work area, data port, voicemail, and more. Call 800-RED-ROOF for reservations.
Hi there. I'm your concentration. I'm what keeps you from running around like a chicken with its head cut off. I'm right here in your brain, but with your crazy schedule, you've been a little too frazzled to notice. Maybe you should try Ginkoba. Ginkoba helps keep you sharp by increasing the flow of oxygen-rich blood to your brain. Being sharp helps you stay focused so you can get things done and turn yourself into the success you want to be. Sharp. You can make it happen. Ginkoba.
Look for Ginkoba brand in the vitamin aisle at food, drug, and discount stores.
Well, Kevin in Yarmouth, Maine, way up in Maine, says it a little more bluntly than I would have. He says, will nanotech be the future drug abuse? I want a Raquel Welch nano doll. You think internet porno is bad now? Just wait till nano porno comes along. Mark, is there any reason to believe that an alternate reality that you could eventually create with nanotechnology couldn't contain your mate?
Well, there's no fundamental reason to believe that. No, I think you're absolutely right. I think one of the promises, if you could call it that, of nanotechnology is that it's going to blur the line for most people between the fantasy world and the real world, that line isn't going to be as firm, as fixed, as neatly constructed as we are familiar with in the early 21st century.
So we may really look back on these as the good old days.
Or as the real old days.
The real old days, yeah, that's right. Oh, man. It's hard to imagine the kind of world you're talking about, and yet you're not the only expert, Mark, who said the things you're saying. You're articulating them, I think, a little more clearly and directly for me. Thank you for that, by the way. But there have been many experts who have said the same things you're saying, and I don't know. I don't know if it's a kind of world that I could accept. How about you?
Well, I think it's going to be for us, for the folks who grew up in the static world, the old world almost.
The old world. There you go.
It's going to be a little bit disorienting for us. It's almost as if you think about how people adopt technology. Younger people always use an ATM. Older people tend to go to see the teller.
That's right.
So it's almost like that. We may want this corner of our lives to have the kinds of benefits of nanotechnology. For example, life extension technologies will clearly be taking full advantage of that sort of thing.
Yeah, but what about his comment from Maine about the equivalent of drug abuse?
Well, I think that there's a more direct equivalent of drug abuse, which is that we could probably engineer nanosites that would directly stimulate centers of the brain. So you're not even talking about formulating a Raquel Welch doll. You're talking about generating what you would think of as probably a super heroine and be able to tie someone into that. And so there's a potential for abuse there that's also enormous. And the question is whether these technologies will exist only in the pharmacological laboratories or whether they'll be relatively widespread. Every indication is that nanotechnology doesn't really require an expensive, huge environment to create. The basic tools of nanotechnology are relatively inexpensive. Less expensive than, say, a gene splicing laboratory. And as the techniques are discovered, those are going to be the things that will allow someone to do nanotechnology, say, in their den.
Do you think that the present state of social evolution in the world would support that technology being available right now, or would it, in essence, destroy the human race? If we had all that ability right now, we'd probably do ourselves in, wouldn't we?
I think we'd have to be very careful. I think we'd get wise very quick.
Well, or get gone.
Or get gone very quick.
So in other words, I guess I want to ask this. Is social development, in your opinion, moving in parallel with nanotechnological development?
I think for our children it definitely is. Our children are used to all of this blurriness, all of this in-betweenness between animate and inanimate, between static and active, between real and virtual. These are a matter of course for them. They really won't have the same sort of philosophical issues that we as grown-ups have. Now, whether that's going to be the thing that guides them safely into a nanotechnological era is anyone's guess. I think the most important thing we can do with our children is to educate them about the responsibilities that are inherent in any technology. Trouble we have with guns today.
Yes. Do you think, for example, that a child of the future, say the next generation, because you're talking about 20 or 30 years or 40 years, not that long, that child will be able to easily make a decision about whether to turn little conscious Freddy off, and that it's not killing, and that the child will have come to grips with the fact that even though this is a conscious entity capable of emotions and feeling and learning and all those things, that child will be able to just flip the switch, understanding that it's somehow different?
Well, it's interesting because the Furby itself does not have an off switch. One of the most interesting things about a Furby, one of the things that tends to drive adults crazy about it, is that there is no switch. You can take the batteries out if you want,
right,
but otherwise the Furby itself has to go to sleep on its own.
Right.
Basically, you have to give it a timeout, and then it will snore and go to sleep. So in that sense, these kids are already being prepared philosophically, psychologically, for objects that have their own intent, that you wouldn't turn Billy off. You might stop playing with Billy. He might whine about it a little bit, and then he'll go to sleep.
But if you didn't want Billy anymore at all?
Then you're talking about a different kind of problem. You're absolutely right. You're talking about what a child does when he doesn't want a pet anymore. It's that kind of emotional issue.
Yes, we can already see what happens in some cases when children decide they don't want their schoolmates anymore.
Right, exactly.
I mean, things are changing, and pretty fast, too.
Exactly. I mean, we have to take a look at our society's reaction to violence and the kinds of tools we use to create violence, whether they're guns or anything else. Yeah. We have to say, okay, if we know that a child can walk in with a gun and, God forbid, kill several people, well, what can they do if they can cook something up in their living room and wipe out a city? And that's the world of the mid-21st century.
Uh-huh. That's going to be some world, isn't it, Mark? And it's so close.
It's close, and it's a beautiful place because of the powers that we gain. They're almost godlike powers that we gain.
Godlike, yes, I was going to say that. Godlike, creation.
Creation, almost. But at the same time, we have the same destructive powers that you would associate with a very sort of Old Testament God. And unless we can temper that with our humanity, with our desire to continue, not just individually, but as a species, you're absolutely right. We can't make it through a transition like that.
This discovery could then be more potentially dangerous to humankind than the splitting of the atom was.
Oh, it's been my firm belief that this is absolutely the case. The thing about the atom bomb is that it's very difficult to gather the materials necessary to make one.
And in the case of nanotechnology?
Everything's lying around. It's just a matter of putting it into the correct organization. And that's what we're learning.
Well, how many different centers and places right now around the U.S., around the world, are in serious development in these areas? I mean, how widespread is the technological research?
In America, certainly any major material science program at a major American university has some unit that's looking into nanotechnology. So you think about the major research centers, Harvard, MIT, University of California, University of Michigan, University of North Carolina, all of these centers have programs that are looking into these issues right now. But in addition, you also see the high-tech firms, IBM, for example. One of the things that IBM did back in 1981 was create something called the scanning tunneling microscope. The scanning tunneling microscope is very simple. It's really nothing more than a very, very sharp pin with a weak electrical charge on it. But it turns out that with that pin, you can move individual atoms around. Now, the fellows who invented this in 81 won the Nobel Prize just 5 years later for their work because their work was so significant, because it allowed us to start pushing atoms around. And it's now become, in a sense, the basic building block for all nanotechnology applications, because we now have a finger that we can poke into the atomic world. And so you have research centers like IBM, like Hewlett-Packard, like Intel, and they need nanotechnology in order to stay ahead of the curve, in order to be able to provide us the next level of chips that we're going to need for the computers that we're going to need to do the things we're going to need in the world.
Well, your website is called Playful World. Obviously, you're an optimist about the technology for the most part.
I believe that the most important thing is to make people aware and to educate them about the possibilities, both the upside and the downside. I'm very straightforward about talking about gray goo. Most of the nanotechnology community tries to downplay that scenario.
Do they talk about it? Do these researchers, Mark, talk about the gray goo scenario a lot privately?
Privately, they'll talk about it. Publicly, they don't want to alarm the public. They don't want to alarm the public to the degree that will scare them from looking at this research, because everyone's fairly convinced of its inevitability. And so what they want to do is to keep the public informed. So they phrase it differently. They talk about different kinds of problems. One is called the toner war, where you basically have different types of nanobots fighting it out in the environment, replicating and fighting it out, almost a war between two colonies of bacteria fighting for control. And the problem with that is that it can cloud the atmosphere with so much dust that it could clog our lungs. And so it might not wipe out the Earth, but it could easily wipe out the human race.
To us, same thing.
Exactly.
No difference.
Well, there would still be an Earth going on. There would still be a chance for another emergence of evolution.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who suggest, here I am trying to be positive, that events of this magnitude are what will cause evolution to take the next major jump. You know, the things that like this that come along, big rocks that hit the planet, suns that sterilize planets, that sort of thing. And then from the ashes, you know, will arise the next generation of intelligence.
It's possible. It's also possible that we will learn enough in the investigation that we will be able to mature ourselves sufficiently.
So how? What do we do then about the mad scientist in the little lab somewhere in Switzerland who decides to become the Grey Goo God and to take the Earth to the next level? You know, even though everybody on it right now is going to more or less go belly up.
Well, I think that in the same way that we developed antivirus software after viral infections,
yeah,
we need to be thinking of developing anti-nanite software while we're developing nanites. As if we have the capacity to create Grey Goo, then we have the capacity to create something that could stop Grey Goo. They go together. They really do.
And how long did you say it would take Grey Goo to do its thing if released?
It's believed to be about 72 hours. If
72 hours.
It's sufficiently small enough that it can be caught up in the air currents and travel the air.
Well, I don't know if 72 hours is fast enough for Norton or not.
Yes, the Norton anti-nanotechnology utilities.
That's right. Oh, God. So if you were to actually see the release of this Grey Goo, what would the eye see? If you could see the release and it were released, I don't know, 5 or 10 miles from you and you had a pair of binoculars, what would you see?
You'd probably see things melt. It would just look like things were melting. And there would be probably an energy release. It would probably be hot.
You mean kind of like somebody was taking a big paintbrush the size of Earth and just beginning to move it across the surface of the Earth, and as it went, everything that was turned gray.
Or rather almost that the buildings themselves would start to cave in, the biological beings, ourselves, the animals, would simply fall down and slowly sort of decompose into this gray goo. I'm not sure how fast, how rapid that would be, because part of the sort of break on a Grey Goo scenario is that there's an enormous amount of energy released when you break all of those chemical bonds. And so there's a fine balance between the number of times that you can break a chemical bond and the amount of heat that can be sustained. So it would be slow and hot.
And then finally fast and hot, right?
Finally, as it covered the entire Earth's surface, it would just be hot. It would still have the same relative rate of progression everywhere you looked, but there would be more and more spots where it would be proceeding. So it might start out in one location. And frankly, the people who have thought about this think that if there's ever a breakout in a location like that and there's time to contain it, the only way to contain it is to drop a nuclear weapon on the site immediately.
A nuclear weapon?
Because it's the only way you could actually destroy nanites before they spread irreversibly into the environment.
And a nuclear weapon would be what? Hot enough?
Oh, yes. It would break the chemical bonds. It would just vaporize any nanites in the environment. And you'd have to hope. I mean, you'd do that and cross your fingers and pray that you did it in time.
It's almost unimaginable. Unimaginable.
And yet it's almost here.
When will we see the first examples of, you know, I have a lot of people talk about free energy all the time, and I say, give me a toy. At least just a little toy. Prove to me you've got an over-unity device. A little toy will do, and I never get one. When might we see the first little nanotechnological toy?
Probably within about 5 to 7 years, you're going to see artificial blood. Artificial blood is a small sphere that's made out of diamond. One of the things that we'll get as sort of low-hanging fruit from nanotechnology is very inexpensive sheets of diamond, because it's simply a regular lattice of carbon atoms. If you can make that into a sphere, fill it with very high-pressure oxygen, and then have a small motor on it that sputs out the oxygen at a regular level,
right,
you can use that as artificial blood.
Wow.
Now that, there's already a design for. So now it's a matter of the fabrication process involved in the design. There is a startup in Texas called Zyvex. Okay. There's a link to it on the Playful World site. And they're a nanotechnology startup. And so they are working now on the applications of nanotechnology. I think the real threshold isn't going to be these sorts of devices, but what is called the nanocomputer. So a computer built out of atomic level elements, this computer that would be a million, million times faster than any computer we have today and 1,000 times smaller than a human cell. The the experts in the field, people like Ralph Merkel, who's one of the fathers of nanotechnology, expect that by around 2011 or 2012, the elements will be in place to create a nanocomputer.
That's really soon.
It's really soon.
2012, that's really soon. So, again, I'll ask you one more time. Do you think that socially we're going to be able to keep up with the technological advances? Because socially we're going to have to, or it definitely will do us in. We've got to make some pretty dramatic social advances. And as you look around the planet right now, do you see those occurring at a rate that pleases you when you look at what's happening with nanotechnology?
I don't think it's nearly as fast as I would like it. Uh-huh. Whether it's fast enough, I can't say. I think that we need to be able to think almost as if it were magically, that we need to be able to think about the fact that the actions, the consequences of our actions can have a nearly magical effect, that we could almost cast a spell with atoms and either wipe out the earth or cure someone of cancer. And we have to understand that there's an individual responsibility there and a social responsibility.
Well, on a scale
there.
Of 10, how are we doing in the area of individual responsibility right now?
Well, is
that your answer?
Yeah, who wants to be a nanotech millionaire? I think that as a culture, we're coming to an understanding of the problem of violence. I think that's one reason why we find violence as abhorrent as we do. It's because there is a cultural understanding of the nature of violence, of the problem of violence, of what happens when you take an instrument of destruction, a gun, and put it in someone's hand. And I think that that's the first step to this broader understanding of what this complete violence of nanotechnology could release. So I'm optimistic.
That was a good answer. I mean, that was a safe answer. I wish I believed as you do. While we may understand, or I don't even know that we understand more about violence. Well, I guess we've been good. We haven't had a big world war in a while. But the micro scale, not macro, but micro scale on Earth right now isn't too good. There's a lot of killing going on out there, a lot of violence. And in this nanotechnological world you're talking about, it wouldn't take but a few bad apples
to ruin the whole bunch.
Right?
Yes, but I think that at the same time, we will be working, and there will be a vast number of people who will be working on how to defeat that problem, how to bring it to a stalemate. So I think that at the same time that you see Grey Goo, you will see 100,000 solutions to that problem.
All right. We're going to break here, and when we come back, I want to turn you over to the audience. This I can't wait for, all right?
All right.
Can you stay?
Absolutely.
Good. Stay right there, then. Y'all are next.